Good morning, fellow gooners. Welcome to another episode of Cannon Talk. I'm your host, Morne, and my co-host as usual, Aiden.
How's it, guys? Lots to discuss. We discussed Wolves at the Molyneux, Chelsea at the Emirates, and then a few previews against the North London Derby and the game against Bournemouth.
Yeah. As much as, like with regards to the Wolves game now, as much as we try to, you know, get in control of this match, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know. Look, I know I wouldn't say pundits, but I think that the betting guys were, you know, already swaying this sort of game into our favor. But I mean, I don't know. I just had a feeling of almost like nervousness. And I mean, I also feel that the squad also knows so much was riding on this game. I don't know, like, how you felt going into the game. Because I mean, I was pretty
edgy going into this game, I think, with the likes of Arsenal losing to Bayern Munich. And, you know, we've seen it so many times before. Yeah. You know, coming back after a Champions League defeat, you know, all of a sudden Arsenal have another defeat or draw, and then, you know, suddenly out of the title race, basically.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, it was almost like a sort of going toe-to-toe, because, I mean, Gary O'Neill also has them, you know, quite well drilled at the moment, the Wolves team. I mean, they're not going to be like pushovers. I mean, it would take, like, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to, you know, like crack that whole nut of theirs. But I mean, the Wolves end up getting with their first big chance. I forgot the guy's name now, but I mean, he ends up, you know, spinning off the defender, starts heading goalwards. And I mean, from an acute angle, he ends up, you know, blasting it. But I mean, I couldn't believe the sort of save that David Raya pulled out, tipping the ball onto the post.
Was it Gomez, I think?
Gomez, the guy, yeah. But I mean, also, like, that, I think that was also the type of sign that things aren't going to be, you know, like an easy ride for us there.
Yeah, I know, and that Gomez guy was giving Joao Gomez was giving us a bit of, you know, giving you especially a bit of trouble on that left-hand side.
Yeah. Then, I mean, look, as I said, it was very much like a sort of sparring match between both sides. And, I mean, come the 41st minute, when Trossard ended up getting the ball off the great work by Jesus, that ends up teeing him up. And, I mean, he could see some like a lost cast desperation shot, because he was like half toe pokes it, or like, you know, that really unconventional strike. But I mean, he gets a shot on target, the ball smacks off the end of the post and goes in, and it's 1-0 Arsenal going to the break.
Yeah, no, perfect goal just before half time. We normally used to be on the receiving end of those, but, you know, Trossard once again, you know, pulling a rabbit into the hat for us, you know, out of nowhere, and, you know, getting another goal for us. I think he's been in pretty decent goal scoring form of late.
Because, I mean, I just, like, for me, what was actually, I mean, as I said, like, now you were taking it, but for me, even leading up to that goal, it's almost like we're trying at times a bit too hard, and I was just thinking, you know, maybe it's, you know, like, more, you know, almost like take a breath and then try to get control of the game, because I just think we were almost like rushing ourselves to get that, you know, the breakthrough, and I just thought to myself, I just hope it don't come back to bite us on the backside, where, you know, we almost like get sucker punch as a chance that you mentioned now with Gomez. We had almost like totally it seemed against the runoff play, even though it was like a tight battle in midfield and that. But I mean, to actually let them get a chance like on our target and with us even not even being on the scoreboard yet. But I mean, as I said, great way to go into the break with that 1-0 goal.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, there was a bit of more confidence, I think, in the team. And I think I still had that bit of nerves, because I was like, you know, what happens, you know, if they manage to score, you know, a goal, you know, will Arsenal be upward? Because we were looking a bit leggy as well.
Yeah, fully agree with you there. Then in the second half, again, slugfest, both sides giving as good as they got. And I mean, then it took almost like close to, it was 89 minutes for Odegaard to get the goal to settle the game once and for all.
Yeah, I know. It was a very, you know, almost like a game of chess. You know, weird to say that when you're playing a side like Wolves.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No disrespect to them, but it was like almost like a game of chess where Arsenal had to kind of bide their time. And eventually, you know, like I said, they got that opportunity. I think it was a Declan Rice that burst through the ball like that.
Yeah. But I mean, that being said, also, and to mention, also, like, you know, hats off to Wolves, because, I mean, they did not make it easy for us. I mean, it's not like we had to really grind this game out, because I mean, it's almost like we ended up scoring late in the first half and late in the second half to actually make the game like settle.
Yeah, no, I really, you know, big up to them, and you kind of hope teams kind of give the opposition a run like that, you know, as we lead up to the business end of the title race. I mean, if you look at what happened with Brighton and City, I was kind of disappointed with the likes of Brighton, you know, what they brought to the table. I know there was some contentious refereeing decisions, but you know, Brighton normally make things very difficult at home, but I don't know, the legs of the steam and the legs have just run out of the side playing in two competitions, but you know, they got absolutely, you know, hammered by City, and you know, we actually needed some sort of fight.
So we go on to the Tuesday night match, Arsenal versus Chelsea. I mean, there was already a lot of pomp and celebration before the game. The atmosphere was already buzzing for it already being a derby. You know, flags waving, the flames, you know, burning there at this entrance of the pitch. So I mean, you could see everybody, excuse me, everybody was up for this clash. And I mean, Arsenal lining up right up there with, you know, what was like what we can actually call Arsenal's strongest lineup. I think most of the Arsenal fan base were drooling, always been drooling over this sort of midfield of Partey, Rice and Odegaard. So what was your take of like the lineup and also the atmosphere going into the game against a like, you know, very dodgy Chelsea team?
No, first thing I was happy about, and I saw Cole Palmer not on the starting lineup of Chelsea and Thiago Silva. You know, I was kind of licking my lips with that already. And then to see Thomas Partey and Declan Rice playing together in the middle of the park, it's, you know, something we've always wanted this whole season. And we finally kind of got it, and I was happy with that. And I think, you know, Martinelli on the bench, rightfully so, and Tomiyasu at, I think Tomiyasu coming in left back, right?
Exactly.
So I like that team. It has a lot of balance and pace. I mean, obviously Martinelli, you know, adds a bit more fire and pace, but you know, it just seems like he's in that form at the moment where, you know, he can't seem to buy a goal.
And I think what also gets the nod over, where Trossard gets a nod over him, I mean, it's based on performance. And at the moment, Trossard is delivering. I mean, there's no hiding behind it. He's contributing. He's causing almost like a menace. And he's also bringing out that defensive side of his game also to the fore, which I think is also going to, you know, put you in good, almost like mindset with Arteta. Because, I mean, he wants, you know, both sides of things anyway, like your defensive side and your offensive side. So that being said, we move on to the match. It took just roughly 4 minutes to break the deadlock. Fantastic work in midfield between Havertz and Partey, and like you know, with a 1-2, I think it was Partey that ends up feeding Declan Rice, who's like you know, bursting down. And I think this was also a very clever play by Rice because he ends up drawing the Chelsea debutant Gilchrist, you know, who played at right back for Chelsea, towards him. And I mean, the minute he draws him towards him, it's already opening the gap for Trossard to come on the overlap unmarked. And I mean, by the time he ends up releasing him, Trossard takes the ball in his stride and ends up smashing the ball past Petrovic in the Chelsea goal, and it's 1-0 Arsenal.
Yeah, 4 minutes in, 1-0 Arsenal, and you know, big up to Trossard again, Declan Rice as well. You know, Trossard scoring, Declan Rice assisting, adding a heck of a lot in the middle of the park, and it shows, you know, the solid having Partey in the middle of the park allows Declan Rice that freedom to roam, and also it gives, you know, the surety because Partey can get across the field quite quickly, relatively to Jorginho.
And now look with them making like you know wholesome changes in their defense like going to this match Chelsea now. With Badiashile playing in the central defense with Disasi. I mean you could see that everything kind of looked disjointed, especially when Petrovic who already looked nervous playing the ball out from like with the short goal kicks. Badiashile ends up playing the ball almost like straight to Havertz. And I mean Havertz, I really thought he was gonna, you know, pick the ball and smash it past the keeper and he ends up laying the ball up. But I mean, by the time Rice gets like smothered out of the ball, like out of the chance. But I mean, also another like a guilty chance miss, but decision making by Havertz almost like let him down.
Yeah, there's definitely Havertz decision making. I thought, like you said, it looked like an easy opportunity, and I was just hoping we would bag another goal because the way we were running away with this game was crazy. Like, you know, we were just really dictating and controlling this game.
Then Pochettino ends up making tactical adjustments to their style of play or with the players that he has on the pitch. And all of a sudden, Chelsea start to, you know, get behind the Arsenal defense with sporadic raids, which I mean, I'm gonna be honest now, which did annoy me because I just thought, you know, like we at the moment are cut above the rest, and I mean to allow a team like Chelsea, especially in their state and form, to, you know, easily get behind us. And then, I mean, in the 18th minute, Saka ends up giving away a needless corner, which, again, allowed Chelsea almost to come close to scoring.
Yeah, we were very lucky. I mean, this game could have been very different if we gave this lead, if we had scored these chances. Because, to be honest, these chances looked like it could have gone in if it was a, you know, what's the word, a better side that was playing.
Yeah. Then 27th minute, again, Badia Shili era, he ends up passing the ball again straight to Havertz, who this time around ends up taking the shot, which the keeper says, but then again, the pass would have been better with it's on the overlap.
100%. He got these two decisions mixed up because, like you said, you know, if he had passed there, you know, easy goal, and the other one, if he had shot, easy goal. So, you know, Arsenal could have been 3-0 up at the break already.
Yeah, so during the second half, Arsenal must have gotten, you know, a good rollicking from the manager, as they came out for the second half looking way more meaner and way more ruthless.
Yeah, no, I don't know what he said, but, I mean, you know, Arsenal were maybe a Chelsea goal away from, you know, that, you know, the whole stadium becoming a toxic atmosphere, and, you know, title race could be down the tubes if we're not, you know, careful.
Yeah. So, 52nd minute, Chelsea failed to clear the clear corner. Rice ends up firing the ball back into the danger area. The ball ends up breaking towards Ben White, who ends up stroking off easily, and it's 2-0 Arsenal.
Yeah, I know that we needed that insurance policy goal, you know, just to and also to knock the wind out of the Chelsea sails.
Yeah. But, I mean, what you know what you said in our key like a few seconds ago, where you said that of the toxic atmosphere, because you could actually sense that air of relief that came over the whole stadium. And I mean, you could even see Arteta's face also when that second goal went in.
Yeah, no, I think Arsenal at that stage now, you know, where that it was like PTSD, you know, Chelsea score and then it's 1-1 and everybody's starting to think, you know, this is where the wheels got off again.
Yes. Then on 57 minutes, Gabriel, ends, like after a little scrap with Madueke, he ends up sitting through Odegaard. The skipper then ends up booming in a defense-splitting arc of a pass in Havertz's stride, who ends up racing through under Cucurella pressure and ends up smashing past the Chelsea keeper, and it's 3-0.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I was surprised he celebrated the way he did. You know, I thought he was going to show respect to his former club, but he didn't hold back on the celebrations.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think of how he was not only mocked by the Chelsea fan, look, I mean, okay, we all, like, all fans are like that. You're going to try to banter off somebody when they leave the club and et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, the way they treated him at the, almost like close to the end of his Chelsea career, and also how they kind of mocked him when he joined Arsenal. You know, almost like, you know, almost like we now kind of gave him like an easy payday check or whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, he's now come back to really haunt him. And I mean, I was loving it.
Yeah, no, I was also loving it.
Then 61st minute, Madueke ends up skinning Tomiyasu. He ends up setting up Nicholas Jackson, who ends up firing into the side netting. But again, warning shot fired by Chelsea.
Yeah, Nicholas Jackson is terrible though up front. You know, maybe he's a good winger, or you know, but I mean, the moment he gets chances in front of goal, I mean, a better striker could have punished us on the night.
Yeah, but I mean, I was actually laughing on social media how it's actually become like a meme already, where everybody calls him now "Sorry, Miss Jackson," because of his constant fluffing his lines. Because I mean, even in that first half, I didn't mention it that. That when that fantastic ball by Conor Gallagher came in, where he could have headed it in, but he got too scared and he ends up slapping.
Putting his hat, yeah.
Yeah, so back to the second half, 65th minute. Saka ends up teeing up Havertz in the Chelsea box. The German then allows the ball to run across his body, takes on one more Chelsea defender, and then finesse finishes past a flat footed keeper, and then also go 4-0 up.
Yeah, I know, brilliant goal. It's cannon off the post.
And I mean, all of a sudden, it's like you're thinking, oh, we're going to finally get payback for that game when we lost with 10 men against Chelsea at 6.
I was thinking that at 6, I was thinking, like, I was telling my wife as well, like, you know, this is it, you know, that we're getting revenge of 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago to the date, because it happened around, you know, end of March, start of April, you know, so at a similar time 10 years ago, it would have been, you know, kind of justice.
Yeah. And then on 70 minutes, Ben White, his cross come shot is finding itself into the net from a fantastic Odegaard dink, and it's 5-0. It's actually just 5-0 at the Emirates, and pandemonium in the whole stadium.
Yeah, I think it was the Peter Drury. I don't know, I saw a clip of it when he said, you know, Arsenal are so good, they're scoring by mistake.
I mean, you can actually see Ben White is actually embarrassed. I mean, he got his deserved slap from the team. But I mean, it just shows you, I mean, like, you know, when you have things going your way, like, just about everything goes your way. And I mean, even the build up to it, I think. There's a clip also going around about there's a crazy amount of possession. I didn't count the passes myself, but I mean it's a load, because I think at one point it gets played from Raya, then it gets to the halfway line, then they go back to Raya, then you can actually see they're starting to almost like suck Chelsea out exactly the sort of areas they want, and then they spring to this build up that leads up to their goal. I mean, but fantastic work the way they end up, you know, almost like. I mean, I don't like swear, but it's like they brain screwed Chelsea in a way.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant, and I think Chelsea had no answers for us. You know, they just looked mean against boys, basically.
And I mean, if you just think of Havertz's chances in the first half and whatever chance we did have, and that sort of chance that Martinelli coming on as a sub later on missed, it could have easily been double figures if you think of it.
Yeah, I know. It could have been very humiliating. And you just watch Pochettino just stand there and was like, you know, what have I gotten myself into?
You know, it kind of reminds me of the game in the day after when Liverpool lost the derby to Everton, where you can see that sort of, excuse me, the fight of Klopp, you know, in the beginning. And then the minute, by the time they score the second goal, you just see Klopp with his hands in his pocket just sitting down. I was like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, it was a massive loss in the title race. I didn't expect it. And I was hoping for more from...
Did you see how bad Trent's defending was? That one clip that they put up on, I think, Sky Sports?
Yes. I saw that, yes.
So we move on to tomorrow's fixture, the North London Derby, Spurs versus Arsenal. Fifth meets first. I think Spurs missing Udogi at left back, because I think it's like definite out now. Sessegnon is out, so that's also like their backup that's out. Then, of course, Solomon's been out for most of the season. The one news of the team news that they have heard is like Richarlison has been almost like kind of rushed, but almost like kind of forced to be in the first team setup. But I mean, again, not our problem if they're gonna, you know, rush the player. That's not, you know, fully yield up. Because I think Porro was also being a kind of fast track to be in the squad.
Yeah, I know they did give us a tough time at the Emirates Stadium, and it was at Udogi. He played a very, like, you know, he kept Saka very quiet in that game.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I was still in the hospital at the time, but I just remember with regards to that game. But there was a lot of individual errors by Arsenal also that led Spurs back into the game.
Like, yeah, I think it was the Jorginho error. It was that, did we give a penalty away? Or they gave away a penalty against us, eh?
Yeah, but we also gave, I think, or you're right, I think we also gave a stupid penalty away. I'm not sure if it was for somebody, but somebody, it was like a clumsy tackle in the box.
And then it was also, but there was a mistake by Jesus as well, where he was like, almost like through on goal, but he, like, you know, blasted the ball over.
Instead of, yeah, that I remember. So, I mean, what's your take going into the game tomorrow?
Look, it's a crunch game. I think if Arsenal want to, you know, win the league, they do need to win this game. And they need to win it, you know, hopefully at the canter. But, I mean, you know, Arsenal win this game, they have Bournemouth at the Emirates. And I think you can have two big games that, you know, you pick up 6 points, put the pressure back on City. But, you know, you're going to have to win this game. And it's not obviously going to be an easy game because the likes of City are going to, I mean, not City, the likes of Spurs are going to come at us, you know. And the fact that they can ruin the title race, you know, for Arsenal, you know, probably gives them more motivation, just like it gave Everton.
I mean, like my take on the game is, you know, like, you know, I'm going with a mindset already that's positive. And I think, like, the only, like, real danger being that you need to almost, like, I wouldn't say, like, just quiet. I think you must almost, like, call and kind of starve them. And you almost, like, take them out of the equation. As you stop Madison from getting whatever sort of delivery that he's going to give to Son. Because I think Son also feeds off what Madison always feeds, like, in passing. And you know, that killer pass and that. And also, like, set pieces, Madison's delivery is also, like, second to none, if you think of it. Then, of course, as I said, Son, you need to also kind of either, you know, like, starve him of the ball or kind of ghost him out of the game. And then, of course, Van der Ven in the central of the defense, who's, I mean, I think he's the Mr. All-Round. I mean, he's got the pace. I mean, of course, I know they did make him look like a mug the other day in when you pass off something. But I just think at the moment, like, for he's up there with, you know, the fastest centre-backs in the league. So, I mean, we're going to need our work cut out, you know, almost like to get beyond him in a way. Because I don't think you have almost like time to I don't know, like, what would your forward be for that game? Would you go again with Havertz up front to be a nuisance with someone like Van der Ven?
Yeah, no, I would go with Havertz up front. It's been working for us. So, you know, if it's not broken, why change it? Especially this business end of the season.
And I also think that that midfield that played now against Chelsea should stick, you know, the same three. Because, as I said, it's not only what the fans have been drooling for, but it's almost like Partey and Rice almost like complement each other also the way they play. And it allows Odegaard to get even more creative and do more things. Because, I mean, at the moment, like you could see Odegaard, even though that was in the Chelsea game, he was so tough to mark because he wasn't like being able to float because you've got like two almost like security guys behind him.
And I'm
Root of saying they call police when I'm going to just say. So we move on our attention now to Arsenal Bournemouth. I mean, we are fast tracking things, but as I said, I'll mention stuff, whatever, post podcast or whatever with you. Bournemouth have also been on a sort of resurgence under Adonia Iriaola, something like that, is his name. But I mean, they have also like 1-2, lost 2, and drew 2-2 at Old Trafford. And I mean, they find themselves in 10th position. And I mean, he's been doing wonders with him. And I mean, their squad as a whole.
I think he's just going to be the highest finish in the table. Have they finished higher than this before?
As I said, I always remember them, you know, being like hanging for most of the season in the relegation zone. And then just at the end, getting out of that zone for to safety. But I mean, as you said now, I think this is probably one of their best seasons that they have.
Yeah, no, and I like them as a team. You know, I don't have any qualms with Bournemouth. I mean, you know, especially maybe because they haven't been like a real bogey team to Arsenal, touch wood, you know, and that they've never ever played with kind of that, you know, dirty football against us. So, you know, the memory I think of Bournemouth that almost beat us was a 3-3 game. We had quite some nail biters. I think a 3-0 down game and we came to draw a 3-3. And then last season as well, where that, you know, a real nail bite at the Emirates. I hope the game doesn't go to that. Wasn't it my wedding day? Yes, it was my wedding day. Yes.
So yeah, but I mean, like the key players is like, you know, Senesi in the midfield, Tavernier, you know, in the defense, and I mean Christie has also been like key to them as a winger or false nine. Then I mean Solanke is also a man on a mission for them. 18 goals in 34 matches, and I mean, I think they're going to probably have a tough time to keep on or hold on to him in the summer.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I think people, a lot of eyes are going to be coming in for Solanke. I mean, he's done well, got some big goals for them. And for a guy that's, you know, playing for a club like Bournemouth, no disrespect to them, but, you know, it's done really well for them.
Yeah. So, look, as I mentioned now, like, which, I mean, our listeners can also understand the whole situation. You're going to be joining the parent club next week. So,
yeah,
they are going to be like almost like time delays and whatever to our schedule. Look, as I said, you and I still will discuss in private how we go on for the onion. But I mean, as we now round off the podcast, I just want to wish you and your wife, you know, all the best, you know, going into Thursday when the new Guna enters the world.
Yeah, thanks.
But I mean, from all of us and of our listener fan base and my family as well, I wish you all the best for the future with, you know, your new bundle of joy.
Thanks so much. And yeah, definitely a new Kuna gonna be around. Hopefully he can have the same lucky charm as we, born in 91 when we won the league, and hopefully 2024 we can carry on in the same vein and the legacy of winning the Premier League as well.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. Okay, guys, take care. Enjoy the weekend. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Thanks. And we get the 3 points.
Never